Hunted Down by Charles Dickens. Track 1, Chapter 1. Most of us see some romances in life. In my capacity as chief manager of a life assurance office, I think I have, within the last 30 years, seen more romances than the general group of men. However unpromising the opportunity may, at first sight, seem. As I have retired and live at my own ease, I possess the means that I used to want of considering what I have seen at leisure. My experiences have a more remarkable aspect, so reviewed, than they had when they were in progress. I have come home from the play now and can recall the scenes of the drama upon which the curtain has fallen, free from the glare, bewilderment, and bustle of the theater. Let me recall one of these romances of the real world. There is nothing truer than physiognomy, taken in connection with manner. The art of reading that book of which eternal wisdom obliges every human creature to present his or her own page with the individual character written on it is a different one, perhaps, and is little studied. It may require some natural aptitude, and it must require, for everything does, some patience and some pains. That these are not usually given to it, that numbers of people accept a few stock, commonplace expressions of the face as the whole list of characteristics, and neither seek nor know the refinements that are truest, that you, for instance, give a great deal of time and attention to the reading of music, Greek, Latin, French, Italian, Hebrew, if you please, and do not qualify yourself to read the face of the master or mistress looking over your shoulder, teaching it to you. I assume to be 500 times more probable than improbable. Perhaps a little self-sufficiency may be at the bottom of this. Facial expression requires no study from you, you think. It comes by nature to you to know enough about it, and you are not to be taken in. I confess for my part that I have been taken in over and over again. I have been taken in by acquaintances, and I have been taken in, of course, by friends, far oftener by friends than by other classes of people. How came I to be so deceived? Had I quite misread their faces? No. Believe me, my first impression of those people, founded on face and manner alone, was invariably true. My mistake was in suffering them to come nearer to me and explain themselves away. Going into Society by Charles Dickens, Track 1, Chapter 1, Part 1. At one period of its reverses, the house fell into the occupation of a showman. He was found registered as its occupier on the parish books of the time when he rented the house, and there was therefore no need of any clue to his name. But he himself was less easy to be found, for he had led a wandering life, and settled people had lost sight of him, and people who plumed themselves on being respectable were shy of admitting that they had ever known anything of him. At last, among the marshlands near the river's level that lie about Deptford and the neighboring market gardens, a grizzled personage in velveteen, with a face so cut up by the varieties of weather that he looked as if he had been tattooed, was found smoking a pipe at the door of a wooden house on wheels. The wooden house was laid up in ordinary for the winter near the mouth of a muddy creek, and everything near it, the foggy river, the misty marshes, and the steaming market gardens, smoked in company with the grizzled man. In the midst of this smoking party, the funnel chimney of the wooden house on wheels was not remiss, but took its pipe with the rest in a companionable manner. On being asked if it were he who had once rented the house to let, Grizzled Velveteen looked surprised and said yes. Then his name was Magsman? That was it. Toby Magsman, which lawfully christened Robert, but called in the line from an infant, Toby. There was nothing against Toby Magsman, he believed. If there was suspicion of such, mention it. There was no suspicion of such. He might rest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?